Next item on the agenda, public hearing pertaining to Regulation 4 VAC 20-252. Mr. Grist?
Yes, sir. We'll jump right into this. This evaluation we have before you has multiple items. I'll try and walk you through it in the simplest way I can. It is a lot of language to deal with, though, in the regulation. First off, what we would call, especially at Christmas time, a little bit of good news. We are seeing an increase, a word we don't get to say often enough, in the striped bass quota for next year. Overall, it will be now 3,284,484 pounds for the Chesapeake area. This means that both the recreational and the commercial fishery, which is allocated 50% each of that quota, will receive 1,642,242 pounds of whole fish. So that is an increase to both. That does affect Sections 55 and 150 in Regulation 252. Commercial tag possession. We have run into, as I noted at the November meeting, we've run into a few instances of creative thinking with law enforcement. Some individuals have been noted down here as far south as the James River with Potomac River tagged fish on board. They didn't see the individual catch the fish, but it's awfully strange to see tagged fish with Potomac tags in the James River and in the York. And speaking with other areas, specifically the Northern Neck and the Eastern Shore law enforcement areas, they also have a similar problem even in the northern end of the bay, where they'll find fish tagged with Maryland, Potomac River, or Virginia tags up in the upper bay. Now, if you don't see the person tagged the fish, you don't know really where they caught them. So it becomes an enforcement problem. You know, catch me if you can is basically the phrase. This is an issue for law enforcement. They have asked through fisheries, can we have stipulations in here that it is only Virginia tags on board and not these other tags on board? And in that, in Section 160B, we've added provisions for that. Only Chesapeake area tags on the coastal area, that already existed in the previous provision, but also tags issued for previous years for either the Chesapeake area or the coastal area, they are starting to see tags from earlier years show up. How is that? Because in previous years, we didn't make you turn them back in. You signed a little affidavit saying, oh, I lost them, I didn't bring them, we go and issue out your new tags. Now, this year, that will change. We will be accounting for every single tag, and we'll bring that up toward the end of this. But in previous years, there's a lot of tags floating out there. I've had many calls about 2001 and 2002 striped bass tags being found by law enforcement. So this is an issue. It is a relevant issue of today. Potomac River Fisheries Commission tags, I've already mentioned that. Maryland is now on a tagging system. That is happening. And basically, if any other tags from another jurisdiction pop up, we just want to cover the gamut here and help law enforcement out, make this an easier thing to take care of. It would be unlawful Striped bass tags will be confiscated and impounded by the commission and returned to the issuing agency if found. And that is another provision we put in here. We're not just going to slap your hand. We're going to take them away and send them back. Get them off the street, you might say, or get them off the water. Tagging. There's been a little ambiguity in Section 160 with G and H. Before, it was either you read it under G, as soon as possible after capture, you throw a tag in the fish, or it should be marked, before you bring it to shore. Well, which is it, really? And it kind of confuses law enforcement a little bit. Do they find somebody and they wait till they come to shore and they put in the tags on? They check them at the site, and that's as soon as possible. So what we've amended this for is before leaving that place of capture, you've worked up your net. Before you move on, tag those fish. Now, one issue does come up, and that is, what if weather gets real bad and you get a storm blows up on you, you're out there, you know, it's not safe out in the open water? Well, the officers have discretion, and they're going to know if the weather's bad. So, fine, you've worked your net, you got your fish on board, it starts to blow, go to safe harbor. Officers will be aware you need safe harbor under blow. They don't want anybody getting hurt out there. So they'll be able to use discretion in these cases. And, you know, it's not just black and white. They will have discretion. Law enforcement officers are very good about that. Penalties. Of course, when we're talking about all this, We need to deal with some penalty issues to make people understand how serious this is. It's not just slap on the hand and move on. We need to amend a few different sections. 120D basically needs to be amended. 120D deals with if you're caught with striped bass greater than the amount of the recreational fishery allotment, you're considered a commercial operation. So we're taking 160D and just referring you to further sections in the regulation and where the provisions are for sanctions. And 160H, we're going back to this again. Before, we were talking about tag at the place of capture. We're adding on to this two sections. First off, within H itself, we're adding, if the permittee violates this section, if they are found in possession of tags, in possession of fish that are not tagged, then that number of striped bass that are found untagged, and if you have that number of tags on board you haven't used, will be confiscated. Any confiscated striped bass tag shall be impounded by the commission, and upon confiscation, police officers shall inventory the confiscated striped bass and may redistribute the catch by one of the next following two provisions. One, they could call and get two bids on the catch and sell the catch. We do this already with the flounder fishery, where they take bids and they sell off the catch on an overage. Well, they could do now the same, hopefully with this amendment, for striped bass. That is one provision. They will hold that with the commission, the funds generated, and the tags. Now, if the person's not found guilty, they get it back, the value and the tags. They are found guilty, it stays with the commission, and the tags stay with the commission. The other thing is, let's say it's a smaller catch or something, biological sampling program here, we're always trying to sample as many fish as possible. We're giving the enforcement officers the ability to donate those fish to the biological sampling program. You also know it as a stock assessment program. They donate it to this program. Our guys call up and say, what is the value for these fish that we're bringing in by pound? We make record of it. We work up the fish. Those fish get donated to a food bank. If it ends up that those fish are found, if the person's found not guilty, again, the value of the fish and the tags will be returned. Otherwise, the commission will hold it. Other penalties. Let's say you are found guilty. Well, it would be easy if we took your tags away from you the way it is right now, just to say, well, I'll just go back in and see Mike Johnson on staff and have him issue me more tags, because right now we have that ability. If you're running short, we'll issue more tags. But if you're found in violation, that's not very fair. It's the right way of getting around. So what we would like to also see in this is, one, you don't get the issuance of striped bass tags anymore for that year. If you're found guilty, the court finds that, that's it. You're not getting any more for the year. Whatever's left is it. And you're also not transferring quota anymore. You're already proving yourself to be a problem with handling your fish. We're not going to issue a lot more quota to you. Finally, reporting requirements. And this is mostly on the logistics for staff. We don't allow transfers in December for a key reason. We're trying to balance the books for the end of the year and getting ready for the February 1st opening of the following year. It's a pretty large task for staff. Now, right now, we have a provision in the regulation to allow these fishermen to turn in their tags within 30 days of finishing fishing. So if you finish during the year, within 30 days, whatever remaining tags you have, turn them into us. Let's account for them, balance the books. If you can't account for them, you pay for them. You pay a processing fee of $25.13 a tag. Some people have already partaken of that this year. System seems to be working well. Again, this is referring to the earlier thing where a lot of times you could keep the tags or just sign an affidavit, I lost them. Now we are trying to account for every single tag. But January comes along. We get all the staff in here, and we're trying to put all the tags together for the 08. It's a huge process for over 500 individual quotas in the Chesapeake area. We want to balance the books as soon as possible to allow us to have as many tags and their distribution ready for what we call distribution day at the end of January, when we send staff out to all the different MPO offices and we do a half a day of distribution to whoever shows up in that area. So what we need them to do is turn in their tags sooner in January. If you fish all the way to December 31st, don't wait 30 days to get those things in here. We're not going to be ready for you. Turn them in by the second Thursday in January. Then we can get our books balanced faster and get more tags out on distribution day and more people can fish on February 1st. If they can't help us balance the books sooner, we're not going to have the tags ready for them to go fish on February 1st. It's a logistics issue with staff. That's pure and simple. This proposal was advertised. For public hearing, we have had two phone comments come in. One is from Mr. Eddie Gaskins. He provided the following on behalf of himself, many of his sons, Eddie Jr., Paul and Dale, Tommy Lewis, Charles Lewis, Fred Jett, and Ronnie Bray. He is asking that since he fishes out of Little Wicomico, he would like to have the ability to work all three of his pound nets in the same day, PRC pound nets, Maryland pound nets, and Virginia pound nets. He'd like to see a provision that allows the possession of the current year PRC, Maryland, Virginia tags north of a line from the Reedville Channel over to the southern tip of Tangier to Ware Point at Parker's March. And I have that here on a map. The other comment is of similar nature as Mr. Donnie Thrift. He also would like to partake in the same area as Mr. Gaskins, but he'd like to be able to work right out of the Great Wicomico River a little further south and be able to come out and work that area with multiple tags. The area, basically, what we're talking about is in the very northern area of the Upper Bay is what they're suggesting. The Little Wicomico is about here. And here is the Great Wicomico along in here. Tangier Island is here. Parker's Marsh found here on the eastern shore. Now, we did discuss this with law enforcement as we got public comment in. I've spoken with Captain Ray Jewell, First Sergeant Adam Friend of the northern area, Captain Randy Widgeon of eastern shore area. They pre-emphatically do not agree with this suggested recommendation on public comment, as this is an area of frequent infractions of suspicious activity involving the use of non-Virginia tags, and the public comment proposal is accepted would only make enforcement and prevention of such activity more difficult. They support the current staff draft language as provided in the amendment.
I got one question here. Now, are you talking about just having the tags on the boat, or are you talking about having two different tags in the fish?
We are talking about having the tags presently on the boat. Their concern is if they're on the boat and they're not watching, you can use whatever tag you want, and then how are we to know? They don't want the tags on the boat.
All right, well, I think it's Mr. Gaskins. He's got pound nets in Virginia, Maryland, and the Potomac River, I gather, all three things. What's he to do? Go out, come back?
Something like that would need to be worked out. The way it's written right now, he wouldn't be able to go out and do that scenario, even go up and run up to Maryland PRC. Now, a provision could be provided to allow him to traverse north out of Great Wicomico into Maryland PRC. There is a call-in system with operations station here, something similar we do with Flounder. And we could make a revision where you could just call in and say, okay, I'm going up to Maryland PRC to work up there. Don't take your Virginia tags with you. Put those tags on board and head north. Just don't go heading south, heading into Virginia waters.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But see, I have a hook and line license. I keep my boat at Smith Point. So depending on wind, weather conditions, I'm not sure, you know, whether I'm going to fish Potomac River or fish the bay. Right. So I have, you know, all my tags on the boat for both. Now, you know, I go out there and I fish one, I got to tag them as I catch them. So, you know, if I have only one tag, then the other ones are sitting up in the bow. I mean, I can understand how, you know, that would be pretty clear. But, you know, if you're tagging them on the way back in, you know, then you have a choice. I mean, I understand there's a problem here, but I think that area, quite frequently, a lot of the guys have boat tags. They may not know, hook and line particularly, which ones they're going to fish which days, or maybe even, you know, their nets too.
Okay.
So I don't know. So if I'm out and I'm going to the Potomac River and I'm coming back into Reedville or into Smith Point, you're saying I need to call in and say I've got Potomac River fish tagged?
That right now is one provision we could add in there to allow you to be able to traverse up to the Potomac or Maryland area and back and not be in violation. And that would be a provision we would need to add in.
Right. I don't know.
That's going to be a little awkward.
Let me give you both sides of the story. I can understand where the captains are coming from. They are attuned to ensure the most significant compliance of the law they possibly can. That's their job. Mm-hmm. The bigger picture, if you get right down to it, is management of the quota. That's what tags are all about. I mean, it's not about you put one in, you don't put one in. If you don't put one in, you get a ticket. It's a big game, and we go round and round. You lose your license, all that kind of stuff. But honestly, I mean, it's really can almost appear that way to the observer. I'm caught between a rock and a hard spot on this one because I do trust what my law enforcement captains say, but at the same time, there are a lot of variables in there that seem to cause logistical problems.
Yes, sir.
And I think it also, if everybody was honest, we wouldn't have this. I mean,
if everyone was Kyle, we wouldn't have any problems.
Oh, thank you.
So, I don't know. How many? Do you got an idea on how many square miles that Mr. Gaskin's idea actually?
Sir, actually, I don't have that from engineering.
I'm gonna defer to you on this because your scenario really causes me
pain.
I definitely understand the concept of, you know, if you come back in and you've got, you know, all three tags and a different year tag on your, you know, you've got a problem. But if you've got all Potomac River fish tagged, you know, I guess you could still go out into Virginia waters and use your Potomac River tags and come back in. And, I mean, that's possible. Of course, you wouldn't really want to do that probably because, you know, you can get a lot more tags from Virginia. But, I mean, I understand if the fish don't run in the Potomac, somebody might do that. But
Jack, am I missing something on this? I mean, the bottom line is what we're trying to, you know, the tag.
No, you're not missing anything. It's a difficult situation, and, you know, how it's a question of how tight do you want to be with the regulations. Mr. Gaskin, you know, has suggested providing for an area in the regulation in which it would be legal to possess any of the three tags. The area seems rather large to me. But, you know, as Mr. Schick said, there are recreational hook and line fishermen who might fish in all three jurisdictions in any one day. It's difficult. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we just don't know what's, you know, we get out there to the cut channel and, you know, it's not happening. And all of a sudden you hear, you know, oh, you know, come on over, you know, north of Smith Point, you know, well, when I got to go back, you know, take my tags off, get back in the boat with my new tags, go around.
You know, nobody wants to see Potomac River tags used in the James River, and that's
right.
You know,
no.
That's the problem we're trying to solve.
All last year's tags.
But when you write the language to stop that, you stop all activity that might otherwise be reasonable. So I'm not sure what the solution is.
Jack, do you have an idea? Or?
Well, I mean, this is the area that Mr. Gaskins was asking for. And
what if, just for discussion purposes, sir?
I'm into what if.
maintaining from Great Wicomico over the southern tip of Tangier north, and it would basically be this block here.
I think that would.
Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you catch most of the people coming out of the northern neck, you know, that would want to fish one of the two areas. I mean, some people do like to go over to the sound, but, you know, I guess we've got to give something.
If we're talking about pound nets, so Russell, you don't have anything back all the way over that way, do you? Russell? You don't have, how does that sound to you? I'm sorry. Like I said, long day. They're all good people too. To me, that makes a lot more sense.
That solves the northern neck problem. I don't know whether it creates any problems on the eastern shore. I can't respond to that.
Yeah.
I don't know enough. What would be wrong with extending the purple line to the southern? Would that, it gets a lot more territory there?
Yes.
Well, people on the Eastern Shore very rarely have
Potomac. We don't count it.
Right. And I don't, you know, it's difficult to get Maryland tags and Virginia tags at the same time because you've got to live in Maryland to get Maryland tags.
So I think that would solve it.
Okay. I do, too. We're cutting that line right straight north-south?
From the southern tip of Tanger Island north to the Maryland line?
Yeah.
Okay.
To the southern tip of Smith Island, I guess, and on up Smith Island.
So more like this?
Yeah.
Okay. All the way up to the other, to the black line. Yeah.
Okay. So more of this angle up and then north.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you come out of the east side of Smith Island, you better have Maryland tags or Virginia tags, but not both. If you come out the
west side,
you can have all three.
Well, since that is on the southern tip, you may want to just run due north out the southern tip of Tangier, and that way both sides are covered.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
That way if they come off to each side, they are still legal, because that does leave the, have the leeway there getting decided.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, the public clear on that provision? So public hearing, the matter is open to the public. Mr. Jenkins, I'm sorry I couldn't see your hand. One up there.
Doug Jenkins, representing Twin River Watermen Association. I don't think you got your tagging problem resolved yet. Potomac River and its tributaries of it stretches a long way. You got fishermen in the Colonial Beach area that have issued both Potomac and Virginia tags. You have fishermen in Maddox and Monroe Creek area that have both tags. You have fishermen that are Nominee in the Carolman Bay that have both tags. These are long-time historical fishermen. You have fishermen out of Machota that have Potomac River and Virginia tags. You have fishermen out of Garner's Creek, Bonal Creek, Jackson Creek, and the Yocomica, and a few other little creeks down below, all have Virginia and Potomac River tags. And the historical fishing of these people with weather condition, and Mr. Schick, you should appreciate this, because you went with my son down on a Rappahannock one day to fill your tags at a gill net, and the wind was blowing probably in the neighborhood of 35 to 40 miles an hour with gusts. And it took all three of us for to fish those nets and to hold on and take a fish out. And my point is this. Those people that have their nets set in those tributaries of Virginia and have those set in Potomac River, on a given day, then when you've been on shore for a couple of days and haven't been to your nets and you know you got fish there and you want to have those fish fresh and sent to the market, you go out to fish those nets, and it's still blowing probably. It was that day we went. And you go to the net that mostly is offshore or lured of your wind and fish that net to get, clear that net up. And then you save your others to when, if the wind picks up, to go to them on your way back in. You certainly don't have time for running 5 or 6 miles with your boat in freezing and cold condition for to come ashore and get more tags to go back out there and fish another net. You take those tags with you. You tag those fish as you catch them at the end of that net. When you fish that end of the net, you tag your fish. When you get back in the dock, you're going to have Potomac River fish tag and you're going to have Virginia tag. And it's all under jurisdiction. The whole quota in the bay, the allotment is so many million pounds. And that fish that swims in the tributary of Machota Creek or Nominee Bay, he still swims in Potomac River. So what darn difference does it make? As long as he's tagged And you use your tags in that way. I don't see how you can write a regulation to cover that. But the disturbing thing about all of this is how the commercial waterman is being treated. What disturbs me, and you know, I'm not trying to hardball y'all, but y'all passed a regulation this fall, striped bass for the recreational fishing. The Fin Fish Advisory Committee said to cut the last week of December out completely. And y'all voted that down, and you voted to extend it one fish per person for the last 2 weeks. And you'd be surprised the number of people that's called me in the last couple of weeks saying, you know, you work, you serve on that Fin Fish Advisory Committee. How in the world y'all come up? All of y'all doing is just making crooks and thieves out of us.
Doug, that's not what we want to do. I said earlier, if everybody were honest and everything, and that includes the ones, especially the ones that come to these meetings. Y'all are not, I mean, it's not everybody. It's just the fact that as governmental agents, we've got to write the best regulation we can. And you make excellent points, but please don't take it as if it's a tacit indictment of all commercial fishermen, because that is not the case from me or the members of this commission. It's not. It can't be portrayed that way. Some of them are crooked as the day is long, but some recreational are crooked, and some policemen, preachers, and everybody
else. Before you cut me off, I want to make this point.
I know. Go ahead.
I want to make this point of this. When people tell you that they see boats going out 4 and 5 trips a day for to catch that one fish and come back in, you don't have enough law enforcement on your staff to police that, Commissioner Bowen.
Amen.
You certainly
and
don't.
And you know what?
No.
It's happening.
And you shouldn't
right
have a regulation to encourage that. And my other
I'm
point,
sorry?
I said you made the regulation to encourage that because you should have closed the season down instead of putting that one fish in there to get your quota. That's my point on that. And the other thing is, and I don't mean to upset you, but I'm upset now because of some of the things I've heard here on this regulation. The other thing is, under your amendments, under wording, at place of capture, it should be vicinity of capture. And the reason why I say that, because I don't know how that inspector is going to interpret that. If he says the place of the capture, that would be the place I took it out to net. When we fish anchor gill nets, once you pull those nets to the surface of the water, you aim to take the fish out and get them back down, because if you're fishing on the Rappahannock and the ebb tide is running down now, you know how much trash that one net caught the day we was out there, Mr. Sheriff. All the sticks and the leaves that the people rake off and throw overboard, well, they come right down the river and they fill that in your nets. So we can't tag our fish when we fish
net. You answered that question really satisfactorily to me just about 5 or 10 minutes ago when you said when you get to the end of the net, you have those fish tagged. Or you take that to me. That's what I want.
That's the vicinity. But I mean, it's how you word that. If it's at the place, then I want that place to include that whole net, not that place where it comes over the boat and you take a fish, because it's impossible to do that if you want us to fish.
We can do that.
I guess I've said enough. I probably shot myself in the foot.
No, I guess.
But I'm going to express my concern. I'm going to express those concerns, the ones that have historical fishing, been fishing. And like you said, I agree with you. Some bad eggs make it hard on the rest of us. But
we wouldn't be here with this, whatever, how many pages it is now. I agree with you.
So reword that, and I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I think, Kelly, real fast, Joe. I think we can reword the net issue of it. And my honest opinion would be not every time you take one fish out, you throw the tag in him. I would think for certain by the time you end up the fishing that net set, at the end of that, after you've completed that fishing operation, you don't go to your next net set, whether it's the pound net, whether it's anchored gill net, whether it's whatever it is. At the completion of fishing that specific net set, then the tagging shall be complete prior to traversing or traveling to your next location.
Yes, sir, we can add that in. I just wanted to point out one thing, sir. Under 160B, we do have a provision in there, Subdivision 3, Potomac River Fisheries Commission, striped bass tags in Virginia waters, excluding the Virginia tributaries of Potomac, which means in the Virginia tributaries, you can have both. And that is already in there.
Okay. Kelly, come on.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kelly.
Kelly Place, commercial fisherman. I'd never seen any of this language, and some of it, of course, is common sense and there's good regulation. Some of it really disturbs me, and I sure hope that you don't vote on everything as was put forth. Since you mentioned that, I'll go straight to one point you were just on, about at the very end of a net tagging the fish, I would extend an invitation starting tomorrow on any number of boats, I'll be out there tomorrow, to have some of the commission members or staff to come out and see in real time what it's like to tag a fish that you take right out of the net. 10 or 20 pound, even 3 or 4 pound, any of you have hook and lined, no, you can't get your hook out right away. A lot of times you have to let the fish calm down. It's the same scenario times 10 trying to get a tag in a fish that just comes out of the net. If you've only got 3 or 4 fish, you can wrestle them down, or even 10 or 20.
Then where's the break-even point where we ensure compliance?
Well, I would suggest that right now, prior to whatever period of whatever distance from the dock, it's nice that you mentioned the officer does have discretion, but that's not in code, and that's hard to tell. And with personalities the way they are, sometimes discretion might be extended in an exact circumstance to one person where it wouldn't be to another. I would suggest that the regulation, and I'm sure there are people who have violated it, and I hope they do get penalized, but I think that they should be tagged prior to coming to the dock. There are several categories of reasons for that. One is efficiency, and I would quote, I'm not going to quote code to you, but 28.2.203, the last three provisions of those seven provisions, and which I know everyone's read, 28.2.203, as far as promoting efficiency, take this common scenario, which I'm sure people did exactly today, 100 fish. You fish 5 shots in that, so you had 100 fish, about an average catch for this time of year. It takes an hour or two, depending on who you are and how good you are, to get the tags into those fish. That's if you get to the end of, say, your fourth or fifth net, and the first ones you tag are the ones that have settled down that you've caught earlier. If you try to get tags in them right as you've got 50 flopping fish on the boat, it's difficult. Take a typical 8-hour day, which a lot of people today, I'm sure, fished out there. Two people, typical crew of two people. You should be able, once you fish your last net, because keep in mind it is a race against time, not just for safety, but for quality reasons. People want to get their job done and get in. Get her done, they say. You should be able to tag your fish while coming into the dock. It's typically a 30-minute to an hour and a half run to get back to dock for most people in the tributaries and the main stem of the bay here. If you want to keep people within a certain distance of the dock, 100 yards, quarter mile, whatever. But as far as getting the fish to dock and maintaining the quality, as far as the efficiency of the fishery, and as far as the safety of the fishermen, to require them to tag the fish right then and there at every net, that 8-hour day that I just posited to you, you can make it'll be a 9-hour day. That's 12.5% increase in costs. In other words, you're fishing an extra 12.5% time for the same thing. I've got to support Doug on one thing. I took a little bit of umbrage at some, and all the staff are my friends, it's nothing personal, but at the characterization of the situation out there as being catch me if you can. Now, there may be a few people that live by that code, but as the commissioner mentioned, there have been people in VMRC, staff in VMRC, that have been caught in the EEZ. There have been reporters for the Daily Press that turned out to be pedophiles. You've got a few bad apples in every group. And right now, the proposed regulation, as it's written, you're essentially penalizing 100 innocent people that you don't hear much about. You don't hear about the guys that maintain and abide by the regulations. Yeah, there we've got a few, and we've got problems, and we need to regulate to stop the people that do go too far, but the majority of people are being penalized here, and I would suggest that of those last three sections of 28.2.203 in code, the ones that pertain to fish efficiency and safety and promoting the welfare of the seafood industry, that type of regulation is an onerous burden. And again, I want to extend the invitation to anyone on the commission to come out tomorrow or your designee to see exactly what it's like to try to tag the fish as soon as you get them out of the net. If you've got unlimited crew on board, it's one thing. But if you've got some people fish by themselves, and it's a major safety factor, I would call your attention that there were a number of deaths just in the last 6 or 8, 12 months of watermen around here. I would cite David and John Dryden and Precosin just last fall. A situation that really could have been avoided. It was a regulatory situation that had them go out there. You're not supposed to leave your nets. There were a couple of reasons. And they went out there and they drowned. They're people that you've seen from the commission. I'm just suggesting that right now, as this is written, it increases danger, it decreases efficiency, and it decreases quality because it extends the time that you're out there. It extends what you have to do for no real beneficial reason. And I just would encourage that one part, especially where you have your fish tagged, that it should be before you hit the dock. If you find people in violation of that, because there are apparently people that have been, and I'm not sure what they've been doing, I would like to say that I've fished for 35 years. I've packed, when I ran a dock, I packed over 1 million pounds by hand. I've probably caught 100,000 or so pounds of different things over the years. I've never had a ticket, recreational or commercial or any way. So to be cast as being part of a catch-me-if-you-can situation, that's not what it's like out there. Yeah, there are a few guys we do need to catch, but I just had to mention that was not an accurate characterization, and I don't think it's a good context within which to pass this regulation. I think it's inappropriate for staff to imply that that's the scenario out there, because it's not. I'll leave it at that, except for those basic parts of code. I really would encourage you to look at those, number 5, 6, and 7 in 28.2.203, because that proposal really kind of flies in the face of that. And I'd ask you to finish here, that if you were out there on the situation I posited today, an 8-hour day, two guys, you've got 100 fish, takes an hour or so if they've settled down. If they're not flopping all over and they're dangerous, they get spines, I would ask you how you'd feel to have an arbitrary extra hour added to your 8-hour day. Because it's the same as a 12.5% pay cut or a 12.5% increase in your labor for the same amount of money. And anyway, I think some of these parts of this regulation, some are well thought out. I don't mean to cast aspersions on the part of it that's good, but I do think that some of these more controversial measures should be vetted by the people who will be affected. And I would like for some of you all to come out and see what the actual logistical, practical situation is on the ground before you require a tag to be put in a fish, whether it's convenient or not, whether it's safe or not. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, one thing about it, ever since we came up with tags, the question about when and where has been a consistent question.
How many people are in violation? Are we talking about 100 people out of the 500, or are we talking about a dozen?
I don't know. I don't have the figures in front of me, Kelly.
Because I think it's a very small percentage, and it's a shame to hurt everyone.
Anyone else? Public hearing? Okay. Public hearing is closed. Mr. Travelstead and Mr. Griss, you have any comments in respect to what you've heard today?
I do remember coming. We'd like to have more people like Kyle. And there is no suggestion that the majority of these people are catch me as a can. That is definitely an inaccurate depiction from staff. So as it is, sir, we can make the recommended adjustments as far as concerning vicinity of the capture, as has been stipulated. And we've already covered the issue of Potomac River Fisheries Commission tags are being allowed in Virginia waters of the Potomac. We have already dealt with that. And the provision about the area cutting over to the south tip of Tangier and running north in a Maryland line, and we can add that in.
Kelly may have a good idea after all. Maybe we do want to consider within a quarter of a mile of the point of landing. How do we know where they're going to land? I don't really know. But on the other hand, for those that do violate it, immediately revoke their permit, immediately revoke any continued ability to fish, and go from there. That's what he's advocating, is, you know, especially if he's, you know, what he says about just a few bad actors. If we could just come up with a location, and what, that's a good idea. The problem is, you know, from an enforcement perspective, the officer goes to make an inspection, and during the course of his normal routine, he's out in the water, and the guy says, "Well, I'm, you know, I'm gonna tag him. I'll tag him when I get." Where's the cohesiveness and the efficiency, as Kelly notes under 28.2.203, efficiency works both ways.
Right.
Where do we get to the point where we don't become onerous, yet we effectively manage our fishery and our quota? That's the question.
Commissioner?
Yeah.
I mean, I think saying in the vicinity when safe, which is what we've been talking about.
The only problem with that, Mr. Schick, is when you go into court and you say in the vicinity when safe, the judge says, what are you talking about? What is, I mean, we know as reasonable persons, but in a court of law, you have to be able to assert a specific time and a specific location in order to bear the burden of proof in a case. That's, and quite honestly, as long as we manage a quota, I don't care where we tag them. I don't. I'm trying to come up with a reasonable solution that does not overly burden law enforcement in doing their job, which is policing that, and the commercial waterman whose job is to get the fresh seafood, the product to market.
I want to just make sure that the commission understands all of the options that it has on this. I mean, we have presented language that is fairly strict. It's supported by the law enforcement division, supported by us. Public comments are not entirely supportive, obviously. In other discussions with Kelly, one of the options we looked at, I just want to make sure you are aware of all the options before you make your mind up. We obviously have situations where fishermen are fishing multiple nets that are widespread. They may be miles apart. One thought was to allow fishermen to fish the first net, and in the process of moving from the first net to the second net, he can tag his fish. You know, if they've calmed down, as Kelly says, and they have distance to travel. But that prior to leaving the vicinity of the last net fished, then all of the fish on board should be tagged. This helps them speed up. I mean, it doesn't cause them to have to sit. If they're fishing six nets, doesn't cause them to have to sit at each net and tag fish before proceeding to the next net. That doesn't solve all of Kelly's problem. And it's significantly more lenient than actually what the current regulation allows. I mean, the current regulation does say at the place of capture, you know, those fish have to be tagged. It's just that there's confusion because the next paragraph says prior to coming to dock, they have to be tagged. So which is, I think there are a lot of fishermen out there who think these things have to be tagged at the place of capture, and they're abiding by the law now, as is. We hear complaints about it from time to time, about how difficult it is.
I thought it was working. I did. I thought basically we did it at the place of capture, the law enforcement officer. I don't recall getting any complaints that the officer was overzealous at jumping on you because you didn't have it tagged during weather conditions and things like that. And I was chief for 12 years. I don't recall getting a handful of complaints about that because the officers, I mean, let's turn it around. Don't portray the officer to be the bad guy just looking at the right to ticket every chance he gets either. So that's not the case. I know it's not, because my officers knew that nothing I hated any worse than I won't use the term that I use with them, but a bad ticket. Mm-hmm. A good ticket is worth a pound of salt when you catch somebody, you catch them right, and they're violating the law. A bad ticket when you catch somebody on technicality rolling through a stop sign is terrible. And that's not what's inculcated into the officer's mindset and discretion. If it is, I need to come on down and talk about it. But I don't know. I think everything that you've come up with so far in describing regulation are good ideas. We've come to a compromise here. Let's find it to do something with the tag and move along. Kelly? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I wanted to say, one of the things, Doug Jenkins mentioned this fishery existing for quite some time. I can remember when there weren't any fish around to fish, and it's only because of our management, the Virginia Marine Resources and the states who work with us, that we actually have some fish to catch nowadays. And that's what we're here to do, is manage the fishery. And I'm sorry that may inconvenience some fishermen. But doggone it all, these are the fish of the state, not their fish. And so if some inconvenience, I'm afraid, hey, at least we've got some fish to catch.
What would be wrong with leaving it the way that we had it before? Change the next paragraph to make it consistent with the first one and continue the process that we had before.
So can you put that section back up here for a second?
I think this one.
Okay. So you're suggesting paragraph G, leave it as it's currently written. In other words, add back in and as soon as possible after capture, and then strike and before leaving that place of capture. But
yeah.
Down in the second paragraph, H.
I don't know why you don't have the identical language there as well. The same language.
I think by adding in tagged at the place of capture helps clarify it and make it more consistent.
And as soon as possible after capture. Yes, sir, Kelly.
One glaring problem I think we have here, aside from perhaps Mr. Schick, I don't think anyone on the board or on staff has ever been on a boat and know what it takes to tag.
Trust me, I have. And they weren't necessarily at the right time. They're supposed to be on the boat. I've been there.
You know that the fish aren't always gruff or that they have to be in there, and you know it takes an extra hour or two, and you also would know then that's an extra hour or two that could be as you're driving back into the dock and doing your tagging on the way.
Let me spin it around. The question I've got is, what problem is the language causing you in the present time?
I think there should be some kind of provision to require the fish to be tagged before it gets to the dock, or before it's 100 yards or a quarter mile, whatever you think.
Okay.
Because that goes to the point you made earlier about the officer's discretion.
Right.
Well, that's kind of a vague thing. I've been going to all the ASMFC and FinFish meetings for 15 years,
okay,
thousands of hours, trying to close loopholes. I can tell you, I don't have many comments, but that's one of them. That is a loophole right there in the judicial system, nothing else,
mm-hmm,
when there's no concrete time that someone could exercise their discretion.
Okay.
And I really think that the people on the board, before you make this decision, or maybe my friend Joe, I encourage him to come out tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, any of these days. He needs to know that 100 fish don't just tag themselves. It's a process that takes an hour or two, and you're just adding an hour or two onto an already long day where the returns are pretty marginal to begin with. I just don't think that the people that couch that regulation realize what's involved with it, and they need to experience it at least one time for themselves. And I would like for someone to come out so they can put a timer on it. And the last thing I want to mention, 100 fish is about an average day. That's an hour or two of tagging, depending on how lively they are. When you get 400 fish or 1,000 fish, and I'm not going to open that can of worms down, but I just want to let you know that when you're deep in fish and they're moving around, you've already been out there for 14 or 16 hours, to get a tag in each one of those is a problem. And you probably, what few times that you've probably found things in the dock that aren't tagged, that's probably the type of scenario when the guys had no choice but to come in after they've been out there.
Thanks. Matters before the commission.
Well,
Fox.
Could we say as soon as possible after capture, but in no circumstances farther than a half mile from dock?
Before,
I don't know whether that helped.
Half mile.
Oh, gosh. Please help me. Yes.
I would make it before you come in the creek. I mean,
which creek?
boat's got to come in haul and put the fish there. And if you come in a creek, just the buoy, the first buoy to get to, they got to have a tag.
Mr. Fox, your question?
That makes sense to me. I mean,
the problem is you come into a tributary that's got 14 creeks going into it. How, which creek are you talking about when you articulate it to the judge?
First one you hit.
I don't know.
What about
inside? What do you all think? Is typically where you get to a place where you're not pitching and rolling and trying to deal with the flopping fish. I would suggest just inside.
Well, now that's a safety issue. I think that can be dealt with under the discretion of the Marine Patrol.
I like what you said with it. So many feet before the dock. Add that in there.
How does the officer accurately measure between point A and point B by GPS?
Then, Mr. Gaskins, the first entry creek home port buoy that you hit is when they've got to all be tagged.
Put it out before you land your feet. Anybody's going to be crooked or try to get hold of the system when they come into the dock and put that fish in. I mean, if an inspector in the area, he's working in the area, he knows the fish. He can be tossed up the road, he's behind the bush, and anybody comes in, he's trying to get by something else. All he's got to do is step it behind the building, he's got it.
That's the way people have predicated it all for years. Before you get to the dock,
it's not going to catch a crook.
This specific verbiage has been in here for how long?
But that this verbiage is missing, or before it gets to dock, isn't that in the current verbiage?
No.
Head. No.
Does the current verbiage have a provision before?
No.
That is.
The current verbiage is on the screen. The strike-through is the current verbiage. The underline is what's being added as for the amendment.
That's anything that we took the dock out or things like that 6 or 7 or 8 years ago.
Let's go back.
Matters before the commission.
I move to adopt staff recommendation.
There's a second.
Second.
Second by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion by Mr. Fox.
Are we making the modifications for the Northern Neck area
and
so forth?
Yes, as described.
And what are we doing with this?
As it's published?
As it is there.
And if we have trouble with discretion from Marine police officers, bring it back up here and we can adjust it monthly, and we'll do it by emergency regulation if we have to.
Agree.
Okay.
All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all for a very spirited debate and discussion. Next item, public hearing pertaining to 4VAC, dredging a conch. I think I mentioned it at the very end. Proceed, please.
Good afternoon, sirs. My name is Mike Johnson.
Hey, Mike.
This proposal is advertised in accordance with Chapter 28.2209 of the Code of Virginia for a public hearing today. The